Ask Catherine. Number one is, Stanley Fisher is stepping down as vice chairman of the Fed on October 13, 2017. If you were Las Vegas odds maker, what would the odds be that Mr. Fisher's replacement is Neel Kashkari? Ooh, gruesome. Talk about a man who knows how to give away other people's money for free. Interesting day, October 13th, 2017. It's the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Plus, on October 13th, 1307, the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar was arrested. The reason Friday the 13th is considered a superstitious day is because it was the day that the Vatican and the French king went after the Templars. And that was October 13, 1307. Is it interesting that Fisher resigned as of that date? Yes, it's very interesting. Second question is new adjustments. They're referring to the DOD and HUD, undocumentable adjustments. By the way, I often send folks to your site for info remissing money. They're unlikely to do a search to find it. I suggest a permanent link to the doc of missing money on homepage. Okay, that's a great idea. We'll do it. And then he sent a link to a State Department report that judges the fiscal responsibility of the finances of other national governments. And you look at it and you think, talk about hubris. It's unbelievable. I should probably write and say something to the State Department. They should look at their own government. Number three, Dr. McCullough brought to my attention InPower Group starting to get rid of smart meter technology. The procedure uses the contract to assign liability. They asked me what I think of it. I've posted it. I have been looking for attorneys to discuss it with. Conceptually, it looks like it has potential, but I don't know enough to really dig down. But I think it's very interesting. I think it has potential because ultimately, if we're gonna have accountability and responsibility, we need individual responsibility. Number five, Catherine, thank you for your most excellent prayer. They're referring to the prayer for 9/11. It leads us in the path of restoration, a dynamic that will become more and more appreciated. The past and the way it was can never be restored. What shines as the central thread of that dynamic is a restoration of faith. Faith is a vertical dynamic between each person and their idea or ideal of divinity. The horizontal equivalent is trust. So may we all restore trust in our relations with ourselves, each other, our government, and our communities. That last is important too. Trust in place allows us to feel safety and all that is built upon it. Wow. I could. That's excellent insight. I couldn't agree with you more. One of my favorite scriptures is faith is the substance of things hoped for but not yet seen. So it's the, as T.D. Jakes would say, it's the ingredient, it's the building block that you use to build the cathedral. Question number six. Hi, Catherine. For years you said that the strength of the dollar is dependent upon the strength of our military's ability to enforce its value worldwide. Strong military equals strong dollar. We have recently two 500-plus-foot-long Navy destroyers rammed on the high sea by slow-moving freighters, and those Navy ships are equipped with supposedly the most sophisticated radar detection systems on the planet, yet two destroyers are both rammed amidship. Also, the dollar has been steadily declining since January. Our military systems are being publicly compromised, and is this a signal that we can no longer enforce the value of the dollar? So you see a correlation? Have our military systems been compromised, and is this how the dollar will finally decline? Wondering if China has the key to our military technology. Something fishy is definitely going on here. Would appreciate your thoughts. I think these stories are very, very important and deeply dangerous for the U.S. brand and the dollar. And yes, I think they're connected to the fall in the dollar. So I'm going to be discussing these stories in depth in the third quarter wrap-up news trends and stories with Joseph. I've chosen this story as one of the top three stories of the third quarter. So you and I could not agree with more, and I think it's a very good, important insight that you've given us. Number seven, please give Catherine a heads up. I'm forwarding this to ask, what questions should I be asking and how to engage the conversation to wake up the audience? It's someone writing in for advice on asking their leadership at the equivalent of a town hall meeting, and I sent some questions on the missing money and Section 1 of the Constitution that includes the appropriation clause. And I can't compliment you enough for being willing to engage with your leadership. We all have to start talking to our state legislators, our local municipal leaders, our congressmen and senators about the money going missing and how we shut off. I mean, we're financing all of the bad activities by allowing essentially the federal credit to be run outside the law. And, you know, as long as they can finance, it's like kids, you know, who are bad, as long as they keep getting their allowance, they're going to keep being bad. So, you know, if you keep feeding them and giving their allowance, they can steal as much money as they want out of your pocketbook. They're going to be bad. So you got to cut off the money. Question number eight. Dear Catherine and Dr. Farrell, in my email to you of yesterday, I admitted a conclusion that cannot be avoided. When free money is being handed out just to keep the jobless alive and the workforce is being replaced more and more by robotics and AI, the people will inevitably begin to despair over truly being useless eaters. This state of mind prepares them for beginning to accept, however unwillingly, that overpopulation is indeed a problem, and they, as a population, are that problem. Without the dignity of meaningful work and weighed down by dependency on charity to live, how many may begin to quietly accept that the need is obvious for a drastic reduction in global population? How many will be so disheartened as to offer less or no resistance to accepting their removal for the benefit of the planet, etc.? This unthinkable conclusion seems obvious to me now. It fits perfectly with the overall drive of the global masters to fulfill their agenda and reduce the population to a manageable 500 million. They have to weaken the will to live. Here's the thing. I don't believe in prophecy or fear porn, let alone a combination. So you got to stop sending me this stuff. You keep inventing a future in your speculations that's different than the one I'm inventing. And I'm going to use all my energy to promote a human culture. And I don't need to spend any time thinking about an inhuman culture because it's only going to happen over my dead body. I won't be here. So I may go out with a big bang.